Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is, Tuesday, June 25th, 2019, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting. And today we are reading from the Big Book. We are in the chapter More About Alcoholism, reading on page 35. Cracking open paragraph 3 today to see what the directions of recovery are in there for us. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Nan K., the 12 Traditions, Roz G. Reading the text and support today is John K., Elaine T., Cindy D. Wendy B. is going to greet newcomers and get sponsor contact information later on in the meeting, and Leslie M. will give you some fabulous announcements today. So you want to stick around today for the top of the hour. The share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Big Book Study meeting, that would be Monday, June 24th, 2019, 13072, 13072. And then this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting, Tuesday, June 25th, 2019, 13074, 13074. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Nan K. to please read the 12 steps.
Hi, this is Nan K., recovered in Michigan. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to the compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thanks very much, Nan K. I will now ask Roz G. to please read the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Okay, thank you. Roz G. here. The 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. Our group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thanks, Roz G. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting for our recording, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Take note here, this would be the star 1 function only, please, to keep completely muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter More About Alcoholism on page 35, paragraph 3. It starts with, we told him what we knew of alcoholism, and ends with, whom he had deep affection. And to open us up this morning to read that paragraph and share experience, strength, and hope, I'll call on John Kay. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Mel. It's John Kiernan, recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. We told him what we knew of alcoholism and the answer we had found. He made a beginning. His family was reassembled, and he began to work as a salesman for the business he had lost through drinking. All went well for a time, but he failed to enlarge his spiritual life. To his consternation, he found himself drunk a half a dozen times in rapid succession. On each of these occasions, we worked with him, reviewing carefully what had happened. He agreed he was a real alcoholic and in a serious condition. He knew he faced another trip to the asylum if he kept on. Moreover, he would lose his family, for whom he had deep affection. Well, you know, this part of the book, you know, it's really delving in to the insanity of addiction, you know. And as this chapter will unfold, I guess you'd say, you'll see there are three different types of insanity that are described, you know, three little scenarios. And when I came in, I thought Bill was just being redundant with these three stories, but now I realize they were actually three distinct stories, you know. And, without going into too much, I'm sure most of you have already read the book at least once, you know, the three distinct stories are this one, Jim's story, which we'll come to see has to do with that all of a sudden crazy thinking that seems perfectly logical in the moment. And then there's the story of the jaywalker, you know, dodging trolley cars, and then the story of Fred, who has a strange mental blank spot. And one of the things is that it shows how our brains are different, how our thinking is different, not in every manner, but in around the food, you know. And I honestly think it was easier in 1935 to convince people of that, because the people who Bill was seeing were mostly institutionalized. They were people who'd lost everything, you know, and it gets a lot easier to say, hey, take a look. Something's wrong with your thinking. You're in an institution. You've lost everything. But as time went on in AA, the average bottom came up. It came up quite a bit. And then that 12-step message moved out to other substances and other, you know, process addictions, behavior addictions, that's what that is. So what makes this thing a lot more difficult now for most of us is we haven't lost everything. Many of us are fully functional. Many of us are, you know, the people I've met in OA are way above the average intelligence and functioning. But with this one thing, you know, this one problem, and it's hard to grasp that insanity when everything else in the life seems to go well. But that description, and a lot of you guys have heard me say it, that it, when it hit me, this definition I read in of insanity once, it made all the sense in the world. The definition is a state of mind which prevents normal perception. That's the insanity for me. I've got this great brain that's done a lot with his life, and a lot of it had to do with making good decisions. But when I have a disease that prevents normal perception, what essentially corrupts the data coming into my head, it's not going to work because I, again, you look, and I'm not giving away anything, later when somebody puts whiskey in his milk and it seems perfectly logical, we all laugh at that. But, you know, he probably thought it was crazy too, but just not until the next day. And think of how many times we've done just absolutely crazy things and then turn around and go, why? What the heck was I thinking, you know? But that's the problem. Our disease has a hold on us. And a disease doesn't want to let go, even though we're in program a lot of times. It wants to grasp and go, no, 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 you can, either you can do this or you can do this on your terms. And real progress comes through surrender. Through surrender and saying, okay, I give up. My disease doesn't want me to surrender. It wants me to continue to negotiate. You have to negotiate, negotiate, negotiate. And at the end of the day, like it said here in this thing, it's about failure to enlarge your spiritual life as well. In other words, some of us get the food down and keep it down for quite a while. But if we don't keep moving forward with these steps and do a fourth step and really look at our character defects and work on them and then make amends and continue to do this on a daily basis, it's just a slow slide back, and it'll be as slow a slide as it needs to be so that we don't recognize it until it's too late. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, John Kay. The lines are now open for additional people to comment on paragraph 3, page 35 of your big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'll take your first name and first initial of your last name, please.
Stacy Kay.
Stacy K.
Beatrice O.
Beatrice.
Julie E.B.
Hannah L.
Julie E.B. Is it Kenna?
Hannah L.
K-N-N-A-L. Or did I say
Kathy
Hannah
w.
L?
Hannah L. Yeah.
Thanks, Hannah. Kathy W?
Yes.
Pedro? Pedro, what's the first initial of your last name?
Oh, Pedro B. I'm a first time at this meeting.
Excellent.
Calling from the mountains in San Bernardino, California.
Perfect. Hang on just 1 second, and we'll get you on the list here.
Okay.
And that's all I can take for this round, folks. And I have Stacy K., Beatrice O., Julie E. B., Hannah L., Kathy W., and Pedro B. You're up first, Stacy. Hi. Good morning.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you. Good morning. My name is Stacy Kay, and I'm a compulsive overeater in Colorado. The other thing this paragraph tells me is how, you know, it helps me work with others when they pick up. You know, hopefully we learn from that. And so one of those things is we work with them and we see what maybe we missed, you know, what happened, you know, was it the phenomenon craving or was it the mental obsession? And were we doing our work? How far are we in the steps? You know, and what action were we taking and what action are we now willing to take that we maybe weren't willing to take, you know, maybe make that phone call if we're early in the steps and we're, you know, I don't know, white knuckling it at that point, you know. We gotta, you know, just hang on until we get through the steps, right? And if we're through the steps, are we doing good 10-step work? Are we doing good 11-step work? And are we working with others, you know? like the book says, vigorously, intensely, you know. You know, we continue this for a lifetime. So while it might happen to somebody early in recovery, right, or, you know, maybe they're recovered for 20 years and things are going great, but then all of a sudden they think they got it. I got this, God. Don't need to keep doing this. You know, I'm tired, you know, and they think they can get away with it. But, you know, that mental obsession is going to creep back if I don't continue to enlarge my spiritual life, if we don't continue to, you know, grow an understanding and, you know, and helpfulness, you know, helpfulness, effectiveness, that's the word. Incredibly grateful for that paragraph because, you know, we don't give up on folks that, you know, struggle. So that's all I have. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Stacey K, Beatrice. Oh, you're next, and then Julie E.B. will follow you.
Okay. Is it my turn?
It sure is. Good morning to you.
Oh, good morning. This is Beatrice O from the Bay Area. So I really like this paragraph because the first thing he did was he failed to enlarge his spiritual life. But that was the number one thing. But the second thing that he did was he went to work for a business he once owned. So there's like his first resentment. And it's a pretty big one, even for a non-alcoholic, to go work for some other guy of a business you once owned. It would take a lot of humility for me to go work for someone, to work for a company that I once owned, that I lost because of my addiction. And the fact that he didn't work the steps and failed to enlarge his spiritual life is why he went and started drinking, which is why the steps are so important. And the other thing that I noticed in this story is the guy had a nervous disposition, that anxiety part. And I think I get anxiety as well. But when I surrender and I pray and I give my problems to my higher power, because I can't control the world, I can't control other people. And in my mind, I can't even control my food. But when I pray with an open heart, you know, the grace of God relieves me. So this story is a great example. And the following pages were not on that, but it's really interesting because his resentment continues to fester and it gets bigger. And it's like that smoldering mattress that still smoke's coming out and, you know, the fire is out, but it still has smoke of resentment and clouds of the aftermath, the stinky smell. So I think it's important for us to let it go and work the steps and surrender. Mm-hmm. And that's it for now. Thank you.
Thank you, Beatrice O. Julie E.B., you're up, and then Hannah L. will follow you.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered with a daily reprieve here in Colorado Springs. I just really think this is a beautiful thing. He's leaving an asylum, and so often as I get in my crazy thinking, I remember my brain used to spin all the time. I had some disturbance yesterday, And it's just, it's so obvious that it's not how I usually am anymore, that it's a beautiful thing. So if you're in this disease and you feel hopeless and everything is just spinning all the time, I want you to know that there is a solution. And then if I'm the problem, there's a solution. And right here, he comes into contact with them. That's the sentence before our reading starts. We told him what we knew of alcoholism and the answer we had found. And so what I know is that this disease is cunning, baffling, powerful. What I know is nothing brings the ease and comfort at once like the food does. That brings it at once. Real life has to do with feeling things and thinking things, but most of all, for me, real life has to do with we. We, look at the word the paragraph starts with, the word that continues to come back. There's this group all of a sudden that he's a part of. You're a part of this group, even if you think everyone sounds different than you, even if you think they must be able to get it, but you can't and there's something wrong with you. We told him what we knew and the answer we found. And that's all I can do today is tell you that I found an answer, that I listened to this meeting, that I got a sponsor, that I put down my alcoholic foods, behaviors, ingredients. Yes, I was a restrictor, but I also put down all the foods that triggered that allergy that made me swing back into restriction and behaviors. And he made a beginning. And this is inspirational for me because for me, what this program is about, I'm always making a beginning. And that's why I can continue to enlarge my spiritual life, because I am not at the end. I'm not somewhere that you cannot reach. I'm not in the right place and you're in the wrong place. I'm in a beginning today. I started today in step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I started a beginning every day, powerless over food, other people, places, and things, with an unmanageable life, coming to believe a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity, making a decision to turn my will and my life over the care of God, as I understand God, and then working through my resentments, the harms I do, the fear I have, being willing to make amends, correct, living in 10, 11, and 12. Every day is another beginning. Life continues to happen all around me. I can't even tell you how much. I have 3 young adults at home right now. But I make a beginning every day, and that beginning starts when I enlarge my spiritual experience connecting to my higher power. Thanks. I pass.
Thanks, Julie E.B. Hannah L., you're next. And then Kathy W. will come after you.
Hi, this is Hannah L. from Pennsylvania, compulsive overeater. Thank you all for your shares this morning. It really helps to know that I'm not alone and that there's other people with the same common problem. I love this paragraph this morning, and the basis of this program is putting down the food in order to gain some kind of a spiritual experience. So once the food is down, your channel is open in order to start, you know, enveloping on that. And that is the hardest part. And this addiction is one of the most difficult to get down because of putting down the food. We eat every single day. We need food in order to live. But for me, I take that beyond the line to the point of no end. Like, I make food a luxury and it shouldn't be that way. I need food. I need energy. And that's all it should be. So once I put down the food in my recovery, I was able to really start working on the steps and seeing, you know, what my defects are and my like expectations of people and just really understanding the way that I used food in order to just block things out. And once I did that, the results were amazing. And then in this paragraph, he talks about getting drunk a half dozen times in rapid succession. And that basically happens when I'm not on my game with my spiritual program. I will go right back. That is just how my disease is. That is how I'm wired. And that spirituality is a big part, because I'm just so self-centered and it's all about me. And I'm just so in my head with this crazy thinking, this mental obsession. And, you know, that's the biggest part, finding a higher power that can direct my life and having some kind of a spiritual experience. So thank you for letting me share. And I pass.
Thank you very much, Hannah L. Kathy W., you're next, and then Pedro will come in after you.
Hi, this is Kathy W. from Colorado. I think this paragraph is super interesting just because it lays everything out for you. It says that you have to follow all the 12 steps, like 1 through 12, in order to get recovered. And I think Jim's problem here is that he doesn't find the spiritual aspect of the program. So it seems like he put down the alcohol and then he went right back to it because he wasn't leading into the higher power. And I've got firsthand experience with this. I think in program, I'm considered like a chronic relapser. And I've been in for 6 months and I do step 1, 2, 3, and then I get scared and back out and I'm back in the food. And I just do it over and over and over. And it's hard, but it's nice to know that people are there for you and that you're not alone anymore. But it's also just a cycle that seems almost unending. And it's interesting to me, too, that I've read in the Big Book a lot, and it's really hard for me to read Jim and Bill's story because you see their insanity. And, like, I'm one of those annoying people that, like, yell at the TV or yell at the book, like, don't do it. And, like, you can see it coming that Jim and Bill or whoever, like, in this paragraph, you can see that Jim is about to go somewhere really bad. And it's terrible to see, and it's scary. But I'm doing exactly the same thing with food that, like, I'm like trying and trying, and then all of a sudden it's going to get bad. Don't do it. So it's hard to break that cycle, and it's good to have people to help. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Kathy W. So before we hit Pedro and his turn for sharing for 3 minutes, I wanted to remind people that we are in the chapter More About Alcoholism in your Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous on page 35, and we're unpacking paragraph 3 today. So if you want to get ready after Pedro, we're going to open up the lines for more people to be able to share. But for now, Pedro B., it's your turn for your 3 minutes to comment on that paragraph. You want to press star 1 to unmute, Pedro.
Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you so very much for sharing. I heard great things this morning, and the reading was great. I was taking some notes from the first gentleman that said that his deceased negotiated with him. And he's like, wow, yes, mine's always negotiating with me. You know, maybe I can need a little bit of this, and maybe I can need a little. The other thing is that my sponsor said that I had to find out. I'm brand new. I was in Compulsive Eaters Anonymous for a while, and then I relapsed, and then I didn't have the willingness to do the program, and somehow I met somebody in OA, and I'm really excited, and I'm really relaxed about doing this program. I'm grateful. So about the paragraph, we told him what we knew of alcoholism and the answer we had found. It's like, you have the answers. You know, people put the food down, whatever those foods are. For me, I'm trying to figure out some of the food. Is that enough? When my sponsor mentioned about alcoholic foods, it's like, which one the alcohol? I know the sugar and flour I need to stay away from, but what about tortillas? And what about, you know, if I eat just a little bit of brown rice. So I'm having a problem with that a little bit. But I know that I'm sticking to protein, vegetables, fruits, and the rest of the stuff, being careful. But anyway, you know, you have an answer. you have an answer to this problem, this obsession of the mind that we have, and the allergy that we have of the body, and the spiritual malady that tells me, no, so you'll be fine. You can moderate, you know. But you know, I made many beginnings. I made many beginnings, but then I go back to eating sugar and flour, and I gain all the way back always. So I can do real well in the beginning, but then eventually the disease convinces me to go back. For the busy tall drink all went well for a time. Yeah, for I can do it maybe 30 days, 60 days, but then, you know, that's what happened to me. At 46 days, I relapsed, and then I did not have the willingness to do it again. But now I'm getting the willingness, and I'm excited. And then fail to enlarge your spiritual life. That's something that, you know, if I fail to enlarge my spiritual life, then I'm not going to be able to continue doing this program. Somehow, this disease will convince me that I'm okay, that I can moderate and have a little sugar and a little flour every once in a while. And every time I do that, in a short time, I'm just as fat as I've ever been. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Pedro B. The lines are now open for additional people to comment on paragraph 3, page 35 of the big book. I'll take you by first name and first initial of your last name, please.
Hi,
Deborah.
Deborah. Irene.
Marie. I got you, Irene.
Thank you, Leah.
I'm sorry, where's the C? Where's the C?
Leah S.
I heard
Marie.
I heard somebody with it. Yeah, Marie. That's what I want. I got Leah, I got you. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Let's go with that and see what happens with time, and we'll get back to the rest if there is more time. So we have Irene, she goes first, and then Deborah S., Roz G., Marie C., and Leah S. Hi, Irene.
God bless you. Thank you so much for your service, and thank you to everybody who has shared. This paragraph means the world to me because it's the synopsis of what causes me to fail. And something that I noticed in rereading this little paragraph, he said, it doesn't say he dumped his spiritual life. The paragraph says he failed to enlarge the spiritual life. So doing the same old isn't sufficient. And I'm thinking, you know, okay, I can handle the allergy of the body. As long as I don't scratch the itch, I'm going to be okay. But what do I do with the obsession of the mind? The only thing that can address the obsession of the mind is my spiritual life. And this disease is progressive, powerful, patient, cunning, babbling. So ordinary measures will not get us there. Half measures will not do it. We have to go all full force in, and the only weapon that we have against the mind game, the thoughts, the feelings, is your spiritual life. And for me, I know that every time I fail to reach out to God, I start to go on self-reliance instead of God-reliance. And when I'm on self-reliance, I know I'm doomed. My self-reliance has nearly destroyed my life. I'm a recovering bulimic and a compulsive overeater since age 6, bulimic since age 17 and a half, almost 18. In all those years, I was a complete prisoner to the food. But through this program, the enlargement of the spiritual life, learning that I need to be on God reliance, not self reliance. It's all about God. That's where my power comes from. That's the only way I can beat this obsession of the mind that will always take me back. Until I can change my thinking, my mind's going to take me back to where I've been all my life. I need something powerful to get me out of my own mind. I need a renewing of the mind, and the only way I can do it is through a spiritual life. And if somebody told me, Irene, you need to enlarge your spiritual life, and it's like I'd go, oh, okay. And I'd go about my way of figuring out how to do that for years and years, working my hardest, and it wouldn't do me any good. Because I don't have the answer. Thank you. This program is the answer, and with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you, Irene B. Devorah S., it's your turn for your 3 minutes, and then Roz G. will come in after you.
Thank you, Melanie, and thank you, everyone on this line that makes this meeting possible. So grateful to be here. My name is Devorah S., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey, and oh, my gosh, there's so much in this paragraph. And, you know, he made a beginning. You know, the beginning I made 20 years ago when I came to this program was to write my food down and commit it to a sponsor. And that was a very big beginning for me because, you know, I never wanted to share what I was eating, what I was doing with the food. To me, it was like my secret. And to want to open and to share with another person exactly what was going to go into my mouth 3 times a day, that was a start. And I did that for a while, and I got abstinent, and I lost a lot of weight, and, you know, and I was, it was great, it was wonderful, but that was it. I didn't continue. And thank God, I, you know, I didn't pick up the food, but I was certainly very restless, irritable, and discontented, and I didn't know why, because after all, I'm in a thin body, so life should be beautiful right now, right? I lost all this weight, and life should be beautiful, and until someone said to me, just like this person here, you know, said to this person, you know, what are you doing? What happened? You go over your stuff. What's going on? You need to go further. And that's what I did. And I went further. And, you know, the truth is, you know, my spiritual development, you know, it's still developing. You know, what I did yesterday, I'm going to continue doing what I did yesterday. Thank you, God. But it has to be more. Because today I have more awarenesses, you know, through my step 11 yesterday, you know, I see certain things came to me where I see where I need to work more at. You know, there's never, it's never over. It's a continuous progression here. And, you know, how beautiful that is. I'm so grateful. You know, I remember years ago someone said to me, well, aren't you bored in this program? Aren't you bored just doing the same thing over and over again? And I laugh now because, you know, how could it be boring when I'm looking to constantly improve and get better and to be of service to others? There's always an opportunity to get out of myself and to be there for someone else. And that is, you know, that's what we strive for. That's what we need to do in this program. You know, getting out of ourselves, being of service, and growing along spiritual lines. And, you know, that is the essence. And I didn't know that when I came into the program 20 years ago. I thought I had it, the spiritual part. I was, after all, I went to religious school my whole life and blah, 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 and the whole thing, and I celebrated all the holidays, and I knew it all. You know, that was the amount of my spirituality. And today, you know, it's you know, we just, it's opening up. The doors are opening, and it's so thrilling to be there for the ride. And another thing that I just want to add is that, you know, my disease, I didn't know that it centered in my mind. You know, I thought it was a moral issue that I needed to put the food down and just stop eating it, and then I'll be fine, and then I'll be okay. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't know that it was centered in my mind. And today, too, I just have to keep doing this work to clear out my mind, and but then I get relief. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much, Melanie.
Yep, you're welcome. Thanks so much, Devorah S. Roz G., you're next, and then Marie C.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you. This is Roz G., recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California. And I just was thinking about the spiritual life. And I think, you know, for me, it was important to learn what does it mean to enlarge my spiritual life. Because, by the way, I'm outside. So, and you'll hear some noise. Anyway, how do I enlarge my spiritual life? Well, when I was in religious upbringing and religious activities, read your Bible, pray every day, and you grow, grow, grow. And so I did that. But it didn't work when it came to compulsively overeating. I even asked God, well, God, please make this food so that I don't gain weight. You know, sprinkle some magic fairy dust over this food so I don't gain weight. That was, you know, how I prayed about eating. And then, you know, as I grew in the program and I got friends, it's so important to have a God squad and to make this a we fellowship. You know, people started telling me about, you know, different supplemental information about, you know, big book teachings and workshops and teachers. And I learned, you know, it was explained to me, and I knew this, but it was so beautifully explained to me that I'm a spiritual being. You know, I live in a casing, but the spiritual life is something that I can't touch. It's inside. And I need to sit quietly to get in touch with the spiritual life. At least this is my experience. And I need to sit. Oh, dear. I may just mute because of this dog. But I just, let me just say here, sitting quietly, getting in touch with my higher power through quiet meditation and contemplation is enlarging my spiritual life. And I have to do it. And yes, I read supplemental books and they give me things to think about, but that's how it is enlarged, through quiet morning meditation. Thank you.
Thanks, Rose G. Appreciate that. Marie C., you're next, and then Leah S. will follow you.
Hey there, sorry, I had a hard time getting unmuted. Thank you. So this is, you know, just like has been shared, Jim's story is really humbling. My experience with compulsive eating has been that there were many, many, many blocks in the way of me not using food for eating comfort. So I've been working the program by the big book for the last 3 years with OA and have had, you know, a lot of growth and have also had life happen. You know, I've had lots of events, especially as I'm trying to, you know, navigate my life now that I have more freedom in my mind and you know, freedom with God's help to make choices for myself. There's been a lot of challenges that have come up, but, you know, the more so the challenges internally, because I spent the first 25 plus years of my life using food to deal with everything. So, or to, you know, I had my compulsion was really complex, and I had a lot of, you know, reasons that I did certain things with food, and thinking about food and about my body was, you know, took up way more headspace than other things. And so as I've put down the food, like was shared in a previous share in the past 3 years, there's just so much that has come up, you know, inside, and then as I'm trying to navigate life. So it hasn't been, you know, smooth sailing, and I get really frustrated with myself, because I think that, you know, if I just worked a little harder, then perhaps this wouldn't be so painful or so, you know, it would go quicker or, you know, something like that. But the truth is that this is life and death. It's not an overnight matter. It's not something that we can change. You know, if we try to do it on our own, we're going to fail if we're chronic. So it just having patience to let God to let God handle this journey is my work. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Marie C. Leah S., it's your turn. And then it looks like we'll have time for perhaps one more person to comment after Leah. Hi, Leah.
Thank you so much, Melanie. Thank you, everyone, on this line. This is Leah S., recovered and very grateful in Brooklyn. So I'm going to also hone in on this one. He failed to enlarge his spiritual life. And before you know it, he went downward into the negativity, into the oblivion, into the state of unusefulness and of extreme. This is for me that I'm trying to describe. I talk only about myself with the extreme sense of hopelessness and the extreme sense of down and despondency and all that. So how is that spiritual life work? What does that mean? It did not really make sense to me until it did make sense. And I started very simple, and the simplicity of it was that it wasn't so simple, because I was a compulsive overeater and my mouth did not stop working 12 hours each day. It was like I didn't even know what it means, breakfast, lunch, and snack, or dinner, or anything. So that in itself was spirituality, that I'm able to be abstinent for one meal, for one, two meals, for an entire day. That's the spirituality. And in this big book it says it's all-inclusive, broad, and exclusive. You just need to open it more and more and more and thank that higher power that has helped you get through all this and will help you get through the emotional part. Because for me, the food was the solution as well. So it was a vicious cycle. And although it didn't make sense, I hope it explains a little bit of how to broaden that power. Because without that power, I'm not able to do anything. And thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Leah S. We have time for one more person to comment on that paragraph. Paragraph 3, page 35.
Thank you.
David, is that what I heard?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll take David. Thanks so much. You're up. You're 3 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of broken, actually, David. Can you readjust your position?
Is that better?
Well, let's see. Keep talking and see how it goes.
Okay, this is my first time sharing online. My name's David.
It's not working, David.
How about now?
I want to be able to hear what you're saying. Keep talking and see what's happening now.
Okay. This is David M., Los Angeles, compulsive
reader. That's it.
Reader. Did that work?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, pleasure to be online. And, yes, I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm also a recovering drug addict and alcoholic for 22 years. And this story about this man rings true to the disease for me. My experience is that if the disease is threefold, it's a physical allergy with a mental obsession, an obsession of the mind, and a malady of the spirit. My experience is I need to know where is my physical allergy, and that's where we have consultation with a sponsor and a guide to find out where our alcoholic foods are and our behaviors. If I haven't done the first half of the first step, I don't have clarity to what that black and white of my disease is in this arena. I just celebrated a year, thank God, from my alcoholic foods and food behaviors. And what I've realized is that the second part, the obsession in the mind, can only kick in. It's not the first drink, right, that gets me to a relapse. It's not. I remember in rehab 22 years ago, they said it's the think that comes in. And we're going to read a paragraph, which is ultimately one of my favorites in the beginning, where it's his thinking, the obsession, because his the third part of the malady of the spirit is the protection. It's the defense. And if we fail to enlarge our spiritual life, then certainly the disease has got to weigh in. So the enemy of the disease is ultimately, for me, is the spiritual, the connection. And if I don't stay spiritually connected, then I'm breaking my line of defense, and I'm allowing that enemy to come in. And ultimately, the think is where the relapse starts. And we'll be reading that tomorrow, probably in the next paragraph. So, anyways, I love this paragraph. It's great to listen in. I've been listening in for months, and it's nice to chime in and share my experience. So, thanks for letting me share.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks so much, David. Thanks for working out that volume, that sound. Okay, so that takes care of the recorded portion of our meeting. We're going to wind down here by saying the Serenity Prayer and stop the recording and move over to our unrecorded portion of the meeting. So stick around. Thanks to everyone that shared today. We are going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, and then we'll follow that up with the Serenity Prayer. Elaine T., would you please read? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
I'm Melanie. Thank you. This is Elaine T., grateful recovered compulsive overeater just for today in Pittsburgh. Wrong page. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then, I pass.